One of the problems that you have, particularly I'm talking about Price High School now, where I had 7 through 12, is a lot of times you've had teachers teaching in the junior high school who were high school oriented. Therefore, they do not understand the biological, the social changes that are taking place with a 7th or 8th grader or 9th grader. Therefore, you have to be a good administrator to make sure you put the right personnel there. And those are the teenage years. Sometimes it begins in the 6th grade or on down. I remember one incident at an elementary school where I had a girl who was, this was a grade school 1 through 6, but she was in the 5th grade and she was the only one that was ministrating. And she and I and her mother and the secretary and her teacher, we had a conference. And we had to explain and talk so that this girl would not be embarrassed, or the other children would not be embarrassed about this situation. And that's just one incident. But why do they do this? One day a kid comes in happy when he's 12, 13, 14, the next day he's pouting. Why? Or how are you going to handle it, you see? And a teacher further in that area must know that they are inquisitive about human nature. Their bodies are changing, they're developing, and you've got to learn to see but not see everything and hear and not hear everything. And then when the situation arises, you've got to learn how to discuss it, you see. All right?
All right. Now, you've already told me you didn't have any buses.
No buses at that school.
Transportation problem. Everybody walked.
Oh, why? Yes, I did. Some of them drove cars.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because they came from the other side of the town. Therefore, you had to learn how to handle cars, you see. Therefore, you set your rules about cars, or else they would get in that car and leave, you see. Therefore, didn't have many then, but they had to have a sticker, and they had to sign a sheet saying, from what the parent's signature, who wrote the car name, their name, the car, what type of car, and everything, the tag, and who rode in that car. You understand? And then there were certain rules and violations. If you left the car unlocked, it cost you 50 cents. If you came in with any alcohol, drugs, or weapon, see, that car never came back on the campus, and you were going to just get the appropriate punishment. And you didn't go to your car without permit or for a reason. If you had to leave early, your parents had to let me know that you were going to leave early. Because if you just left it, went on off, and they were expecting you at 3 and you left at 1, I don't know what you're doing. You see, but I'm responsible when you first come there until you leave, you see. And generally, the old rule used to be that you're responsible 1 hour before and 1 hour afterwards. Teachers don't want that now. They don't want that responsibility.
Tell me about utilization of funds.
The best way to utilize funds is to explain to teachers, which most principals don't like to do, the source and the amount of all funds. The source and the amount of all funds. You get state funds, you get local funds, you get funds you raise, your general funds. A lot of the high school teachers did not know that 7th and 8th grade were considered elementary and they got special allotments. Principals didn't tell the teachers they got special allotments. And therefore they could finagle. If you got vocational money, you got money for what they call book fee, you got home ec money, physical ed money, what have you, let's know what all it is. And then you get your department heads together. And along about a month from now, I'd say about middle of March, each department head would contact the teacher and find out what their needs were going to be for the following year. That would be on a white page. They'd make me a summary on either a blue sheet from each one, and I'd summarize all of them, and then I'd meet with the total amount of funds and whatever it took for bands. There may not be a band allotment or a glee club allotment, but you got to have it. Where's it coming from? All right, the state this year decides that they're going to cut out certain amount of free products. You need to know that. Everybody in the school needs to know it. All right, in the bricklaying class, the company will give you 2,000 bricks, but how long will 2,000 bricks last? Therefore, how much do you give to bricklaying? How much do you give to carpentry? See? All right. How much does a math class need every year? If they've got their compasses and their scales, all of those things they need, how much do they need every year? Understand? Over against some other class that's using it up. And in that way, when you do that, let's be hypothetical. Say that at that school, the Price High School, that we had total of $20,000 coming in. But we had a request for $25,000. Now, we had to set priorities. What comes first? See? Then, after you set priorities, each teacher knew then that what they were going to get. Next, I permitted them to order what they wanted for the next year before school was out, which allowed that when school opened, everything was on hand. If they had something they wanted to hold back, it would be there. Then if an emergency arose, you had another meeting. For example, one year we had a price to go up on mimeograph paper, 100%, from 34 cents a ream to 68 or 69 cents per ream. All right, therefore, if you've allotted so much for supplies, you understand, something has got to give. The next thing is what you do with general funds. That is your biggest problem, money that is raised outside of allotments. And I handled that differently. I did not allow the athletic director to handle the funds. We had an athletic finance committee. The athletic director submitted his needs, but you get someone that's unattached to that, and that would generally be the head of the math department or someone, and we would do the accounting that way. As far as the tickets and everything, they didn't have to think, you just run the department. We'll meet your needs if we can, you see. Then we would order in bulk. That's another thing. You could place your order for certain supplies that you need for athletics or whatever you had, and the system would put it on bids, which meant that you were able to save that way. But then came your problem. Money that was raised during the year. How do you account for that? Understand? There's only one answer you can give. If there had not been a school here, would you be raising the money? And since there's not you're raising it because there's a school here, the school has to go have a say-so in it. Now, you could have a French club, you can raise $500, but you're not going to take that $500 and go out and have a French party. You see? We'll make some decisions on that. You see? Therefore, you'll have to keep teachers from going way ahead. And then such projects as yearbooks and whatnot. The yearbook people want all the money from pictures. You run into some things. And how do you equate that? Then if the yearbook people handle all that and don't tell the other faculty members, see, how much was taken in, what's involved. You understand? There comes the whispering. And anytime you have something, Anytime you have something, there should be an accounting. I mean, I don't care what it is, there should be an accounting. And the hardest thing to account for is concessions at a game. But we had a way of doing that, you see. We carried all of our equipment together, we sold everything, and the people were in charge. He'd have so many cups, and we'd come back and count what's left. So you better have money for so many others. This kept down the problem. But now, even when I came back and went to work in Gaston County, this became a problem, you see. Outside influences, booster clubs. I didn't need a booster club, you see. I didn't need a booster club. I could handle my own program, you see. I run into situations where booster clubs wanting to run the whole program, you see. I don't want that. You know, that doesn't make you popular, though.
No, I know it doesn't. Mm-hmm. What about cafeteria management?
Except for the 3 years I was at Green Bethel from 61 to 64, I had to run the cafeteria there myself. I had to raise the funds, hire the workers, buy the food, buy the pots and pans. They furnished the utilities. That was something I had never faced before, because always before it had been done central-wise.
Mm-hmm.
That was an experience. When you find that maybe 40-50% of your children are on welfare, or they are farming, and this time of year they don't have any money. So you have to learn to cope. The first thing you have to do is you have to make sure that you've got a person who understands cafeteria cooking, bulk cooking. Just because someone is cooked in a person's house, you don't need them.
Mm-mm.
I had that problem. The lady would cook some of the best pinto beans or the best cabbage, and you'd have all that fat back floating in them. But I couldn't afford that. She was cooking as you would in a house. She didn't understand the cards. So I had to get someone who understood the bulk cooking by the hundreds. And that is important. There, with that problem, I had to do a whole lot of finagling, like going to farmers when they got ready to sell their corn and buying 20, 30, 40, 50 dozen. Man get ready to cull his chickens, have the children to bring in chicken coops and buy all hens, roosters, and everything. Spend the next day killing them, put them in the freezer. And you don't have pass out fried chicken, you see. It won't take it long to get gone, you see. You have to use that chicken with something else. Well, there's a lot of ways you had to learn to do. But then when you got to Price High School, I didn't have to worry about the operation. I just had to deal with the personnel and the discipline. And if you've got a good manager, don't take an individual problem in the cafeteria to the individual. Take it to the manager. If you do that, take it to the individual. You undercut the manager. You should first take your problems to the manager, same way within the school, to the chairman, unless it's a personal problem with the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But you take it to the manager, let the manager attempt to settle it. Then if you can't, then you have a triumvirate, the three of you come in. I understand? But always in the end, the buck stopped with me.
Mm-hmm. Building and grounds.
They say, that's quotation mark, that George Miller as a principal and as a teacher, next to godliness, he was noted for being next to cleanliness.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a school, an elementary school, where I had a sign in that I'd give anybody $5 if they found five pieces of paper, I don't care how small, on the floor in the hall. You must do this. You must understand all aspects of the school. You just don't learn. You got to know maintenance. You got to know the boiler room. You got to know all of it. I went from a city system where you had one type of plumbing out to the rural system where you've got a sump pump, everything welled, so you got to learn it. Then back to the city system. So that means a different thing. All right. Next, how do you maintain cleanliness? You maintain cleanliness by making it everybody's responsibility. You want an example?
Mm-hmm.
You hire a janitor, and a janitor, you should know how many rooms a janitor can sweep per hour. But if the teacher lets the children leave their books and all the paper inside of the desk, and every time the janitor moves the desk, they fall out, it's going to more than double his amount of time. So you got to tell them what to do. I'd rather that they take all of the books out, empty all of the trash on the floor. You can sweep that up. If the janitor has to close every window and adjust every blind after he gets through sweeping, he's got a problem. It's going to take him longer. Therefore, he's going to wind up not being able to dust. Next thing, you've got to know how much a person can do. A person, this individual can do. Not all individuals. He may can do twice as much as you can in the same period of time. You understand? And when I went to Green Bethel, I had two older men and an old woman. See? So they worked at a different pace. Therefore, you employ the students into it. Then they had been trying to get through with their job in time so they could ride the bus back home. Whereas at Price High and these other schools, I had ample janitorial help that was trained. Then if you see them doing something wrong, you have to have some training sessions on how to do certain things. Therefore, I have spent many times, even going to A&T College and to various other school systems, lecturing on maintenance and cleanliness and on how to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
You see, using ESE, CETA workers, how to use them. Most janitors, when they get extra work like that, do not know how to supervise them. So you have to teach your head janitor to be a supervisor and not a worker if he's got the other. See, they'll know how to work, but they don't know how to supervise. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do when the child sits around and goofs off, you see. Therefore, you have to establish that in the beginning.
And have you ever had a janitor that wouldn't do?
Oh, yes.
How'd you change that behavior?
Well, I told you there were only two ways, one by experience and one by teaching. They came to me with poor experience, and since I couldn't teach them, they had to do like the cat to taste the hot milk. They had to curl their tail and go around the house. I'm going to replace them.
You did try to teach them first, and they couldn't learn.
Oh, yeah.
Then they had to go.
Well, for example, you got a lot to teach. People think a principal who doesn't do a thing but just go in the office and sit down needs to be fired. But if you got a custodian who doesn't know when to change the heads on a mop, you got a problem. You can't sweep with dirty mops. You understand? How do you do with mops when you get through with them? I find them, they got them laying heads down like this, some up against the wall, and it's all dirty. You got to make preparation. So I nail a big 1x6 board across there and put some 20-penny nails in it and let them make a rack for it, you see. And every so often, see, I'd go down there and put number one, number two, number three, or whatever number we had. If I go by there and see that mop head, I had a key to everything. See, therefore, I'd call him, you see. Didn't cost you anything. And then the next thing is, when I went to one school, they were sweeping a hall with a 12-inch mop, and they had to go up and down it four times. So immediately I bought some 72-inch mops. Alright, so the next thing is that your staff will find out if you are demanding cleanliness. They will soon fall in. For example, different lunch periods. If you eat on first lunch period, he eats on the second, he has a right to have a clean table just like you do. Therefore, you're going to have to teach cleanliness there. Do not leave this table that way, because you may be on the second lunch period next year. And when you got three lunch periods, you got to do it, you see. And when they see you doing things, understand? Then sometimes if it gets so bad, you go back to the basic way of leadership. See, there are only four ways of leadership. And the first is the old army way of telling. You see, the second is selling. All right. And the next is consulting. And the fourth is joining. In the army, they don't ask you but one thing, they tell you. So if the grounds don't look right, see, you bring your class out here and line them up. I'm going to show you what we call policing. See, every 1, 2, 3 trash can, 1, 2, 3, pick up everything that ain't nailed down. See, if it's nailed down, painted, if it's moved, salute it. Then Mara, she'll, if it next, get back where next week, she take her class. After a while, you can do it all in 15 or 20 minutes on the campus, but you got it clean. You see. Alright, then remember that what people see first is the impression that they have last. When you come in the front door of a school, I can walk in the front door of any school, look at the grounds out there and walk through the front door and tell what kind of school it is. I can take you to a school in Gaston County that doesn't have a full-time custodian now, and I know it. And you're going to find cigarette butts and everything laying all around there, because they don't, can't do it. You see. Alright. So you don't have any problem with that. One last thing. Make sure that the people that you ask to do a certain thing have the right supplies and equipment to do it. See. I remember doing summer cleaning at a school where I had 80 classrooms. And the man asked me, what did I want for summer cleaning? And I said, 200 pounds of rags to start off with. He'd been used to giving everybody 10 pounds. 10 pounds wouldn't last no time, because nobody had figured it out. You see? Alright, how much glass cleaner would you need? See, how much wax, how many square feet can you do with a gallon of wax? You see? You need to know those things yourself. No, no janitor can figure that out. You see? There's a whole lot that you've got to do yourself. Next, don't let teachers become borrowers. Oh, I keep my room clean if you give me a broom and a dustpan. You got 80 teachers, how many brooms you need? 80 brooms, 80 dustpan. After a while, you don't have one for yourself. Huh? No. And just don't, no one has the authority to move any furniture without permission. I don't care what it is. Because I had an inventory style that was different. When you went into your room, you had two sheets in there. And you signed them both. It said you had so many desks. You had a teacher's desk. And you had a sign on there whether it was clean or not. You had a trash can, a pencil sharpener. You had this, that, and the other. Whatever you had. Understand? Now, that comes back for the Army. If you got too much, you stole it. If you ain't got enough, you sold it. So when I went back at the next time, I could do my inventory real quick. Therefore, if you had a broken chair, understand? Bring me your sheet. We'll take it off until I replace it. You see? Or if you got more students in your class than you got furniture, let me know. Don't go somewhere picking it up. I want to know where everything is. That went in, that goes in the office, cafeteria, where you can do an inventory in a school of 1,600 students. I don't care what you got in 2 days. I can do it. That's right.
Tell me about the community relations.
That's most essential. Because the most important product you're dealing with is that community product, their child. The only reason we don't open school on Saturday and Sunday, there are no children. The only reason the teachers go home at 3:30 is because the students go home at 3:10. Therefore, what is important? The children. Therefore, you try to instill within your staff that importance. You must get out in the community. You must belong to things in the community. Go to the churches in the community, white or black. You see. Go to the organizations. When I was in Salisbury there, I spoke at several of the clubs. I joined the National Conference of Christians and Jews, and all those things. I couldn't get in the country club. They wouldn't let me in it. I asked. But you've got to know the community. Now, any community, and you use the word community, I wish you had said communities.
Well, go ahead, you can say communities.
Because within your school community, you have sub-communities.
That's right.
There are maybe one section of town where the people call themselves affluent. Like right against the layer right in here. You can go down and cross the highway and go over, it's a different thing. You see? Or you go right around this, around the back here, all these apartment people. But they're all in the community. You got some who come from way across the other part of town who feel that you only give certain ones who are right around the school the opportunity to do things. You've got to know that, you see. And that's most important. You see? So you've got to know all of your sub-communities within your school community. And one of the better things to do, I used to do, was to make sure that I drew a map of my attendance line. And then I would, I have it reduced to a sheet like this. Then I'd give one to every child to carry to every parent. You'd be surprised at what that will do to let them know where they're all coming from, because the people way over here don't know what these people way over here are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Next, you must let them know that if they can come to a football game, they can come to PTA.
Well, how in the world do you get that done?
Well, it's the, you start with a few. First, you'll have to get the child interested. You're going to have maybe something to entice them to come to the PTA, a program or whatnot, a reception, You got to get them to come, but then you got to let them know. See, anytime when I first become principal, I never had to worry about getting the people to come because they're going to come there the first time just to see me and find out what I had to say. And that's when I'd sell it right then. You see, I let them know what I meant by whether I will spank their child or what. Now, if you don't want to spank, you come off your job and come over here and spank him. You see, or whatever it is. And I expect to see you back here every month when we're doing so-and-so. Understand? I don't want to see you crowding in the basketball game and can't come over here for anything else. Don't tell me that you live 20 miles away. You go anywhere you want to go. You go to the fair, you go anywhere. This is the most precious thing that you got, your child. You trusting him with me for maybe 7.5 hours a day. See? Please give me that respect. See, if you want me to do a job with him, put him in my care, you see. And I said, remember, we got a whole lot. Don't expect us to be the nursemaid for every one of them because we don't have that many nurses. So your child's going to have to learn some manners and some discipline too. And then if we don't, then you and I, we won't. You